So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day Roger first published his famous thesaurus.
Then on Tuesday, we say happy birthday, Mr. Potato Head.
On Wednesday, the extraordinary stories of the child soldiers who fought in the American Civil War.
On Thursday, how King James changed the word of God.
And on Friday, what did spam emails look like in 1978?
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, Man fans. Happy last Tuesday before Christmas. This is the Modern Man Christmas Spectacular. It's our version of those big Morecambe and Wise specials you used to see on the BBC. We put out a plea a couple of weeks ago, you might remember, to listeners to invite us to pay for our Christmas dinner. Paul from Brighton responded, hello, Paul.
Hello.
Where are we?
We're at Cloud Nine in Brighton.
Which is an ice cream parlour.
Ice cream and cake cafe.
Unconventional Christmas dinner.
Yep.
What are we about to receive?
So you've got a mix on Christmas pudding, your dessert. So it's a Christmas pudding ice cream.
How did you find The Modern Man, may I ask, Paul?
I listened to Answer Me This, and
I've heard of it
on there, and I thought I'd give it a listen. So you're on the list.
Well, it is a pleasure to be on your list. It is a pleasure to be in your gaff. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Producer Matt is here. Paul is here. But also Ollie Peart is here. Alex Fox is here. This is The Modern Man. Let's go.
Coming up in our Christmas spectacular.
All you need is one headline in the Sun. I emptied Santa's sacks and my career is over.
I meet the man who plays Father Christmas almost every day of the year.
I mean, that tastes horrible. I'd rather suck a cock than have that in my mouth again.
And we sample a special pick and mix in our roundup of the year's best sex toys.
Okay, so this is our Christmas dinner. So by tradition, obviously, you bring the whole family together, which means even though traditionally this is the Zeitgeist section with Ollie Peart, Alex Fox is with us as well. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Ollie. Your intro gave me an idea for a new name for the foxhole, by the way.
We're a bit late for that, but go on.
More come and wise.
So, Ollie.
Yes.
We're going to do Christmas trends this week.
We are.
Since it's our special festive edition of the show. What have you got for us in your Santa sack?
Space.
Is that because of Tim What's-Her-Face?
Tim Peak.
The amount of coverage that he's getting for being the first Brit in space with a Union Jack on his sleeve.
Mm.
It's astonishing, isn't it? Because normally we pay absolutely no attention whatsoever to a launch by the European Space Agency.
Because it's incredibly impressive. Let me reel off some facts.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, he's the first publicly funded British astronaut ever.
Yeah.
He beat 8,000 applicants to become one of the 6 astronauts at European Space Agency. He spent 12 days underwater to train for the mission and a week in a cave. He'll spend 6 months on the International Space Station. He'll be studying lots of things. They'll be taking part in 265 experiments whilst they're there. He's going to run the London Marathon in space.
But isn't the whole thing a complete waste of time, really?
I'm not even going to answer
that. But I'll tell you why.
Go on.
I know in the long term, then of course it's necessary to have all this scientific research in place, isn't it? You know, in 500 years' time when we're ready to go and live on Venus or whatever, then of course this particular mission will be one of the things that pave the way for us to understand space. But we're all going to be dead. Like in the medium term, wouldn't they be better putting all this money into researching stuff that we could use on Earth?
But they are. They're looking at his brain and like the pressure in his brain, which could help develop technology that can be used by the NHS for like
I think they reverse engineer this. They want to go into space because they've grown up watching space movies, and then they say, ah, yes, and it will help people with Parkinson's. I'm sure there are better ways to do that.
They kind of have to as well, because the space station is the single most expensive object ever made. It's $100 billion it's cost to build it. But anyway, on to something more festive and more interesting about the International Space Station and Tim Peake.
Wow.
Is when he's there on Christmas Day, he's going to eat a Christmas pudding in space. Ooh. Made by Heston Blumenthal.
Oh, the idea of Christmas pudding without the aid of gravity is even worse.
He's making him other stuff as well.
Go on.
He's making him a bacon sarnie, a Sunday roast, planet-shaped bite-sized treats, and a 3-course rocket-shaped lolly with tomato soup, curry, and eaten mess.
Have you ever had the space food that allegedly NASA astronauts take up with them? Is that dried stuff?
I've had the freeze-dried ice cream.
Yeah.
I was very excited about it. I lived near Jodrell Bank as a child.
Uh-huh.
So me and my school went on a trip to Jodrell Bank, and I think I was more excited about these boulders of freeze-dried ice cream than I was about the planetarium and whatnot. But it essentially tasted like polystyrene.
It's rank, isn't it? I can still taste it. I can still remember that taste, that dry, scrapey...
Which is weird because your taste buds in space, they don't really work. Everything tastes bland. So you'd think that they'd make it taste like uber strong.
Okay, briefly.
Go on.
If I had a ticket right now and it was for you to go to the International Space Station, you get all the training thrown in. Mm-hmm. Let's assume that you're qualified in some weird way. Would you take it, yes or no?
No.
No. Why?
Because I could die.
Exactly. What? Alex Fox, would you take it, yes or no?
Absolutely, without question.
Would
I'm going to die anyway.
Yeah.
How can you say no to that kind of
adventure?
And you
are quite likely to die in a big capsule being strapped into something.
Thank you for that prediction of my future, Ollie.
Well, what worries me most about going into space, right, and I had this thing just the other day. I was walking along and I had an itch on my nose. And I was in Reading, and I was walking through Reading, and I thought, right, I'm doing a spacewalk, I've got an itchy nose, and I've got the thing over my face.
Yeah.
I can't itch my nose. So when I was walking through Reading, I thought, no, I'm going to try and be an astronaut. I'm not going to scratch my nose. Yeah. I lasted about 30 seconds, so I couldn't be an astronaut because I can't scratch my nose.
I feel like the time's right to move on to our second course.
Whoa.
These are the mince pies cupcakes provided by Cloud9 in Brighton.
They are huge.
They are absolutely immense.
And they have sprinkles. Oh, these are very exciting.
Oh, they're very creamy as well.
I'm not quite sure how I'm going to eat this.
You're getting it in your beard, Ollie.
I've got a good idea for a cake company.
Yes.
Practical patisserie. You know, like that you can just eat on the go without getting in your beard. That'd be nice.
That's not a bad idea. It's a good name.
It is.
It's the kind of thing that you get kicked out of Dragon's Den instantly, but I quite like it.
Yeah, you imagine going in with that.
I would be watching that at home thinking, go on, Peter, back it. Give him £1 million. What could go wrong? Ollie Peart, what are your other Christmas trends?
Will
this
Christmas be a white Christmas?
I've seen this in the papers. It's going to be the mildest Christmas possibly ever?
Well, there's an El Nino floating around that's going to cause lots of problems with that kind of thing. But what I found most interesting about it is what defines a white Christmas in the first place.
Yeah.
So do you know this?
Yes. It's whether a flake of snow drops on the GPO tower. Am I close?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought.
Oh, really?
I thought that. I think lots of other people thought that as well. The Met Office have released a video describing what they define as a white Christmas. And it is when one snowflake is observed falling in a 24-hour period anywhere in the UK.
Oh, really?
That's ridiculous. That's not a white Christmas.
No, that's quite
it's
a good
very
context,
useful,
isn't it?
Though, because then you can go, oh, it's a white Christmas. Sorry, can't make it to work today. Kids ain't going to school. Snowed in.
If you were to define it with these rules, apparently there's been quite a lot of white Christmases. In the last 55 years, how many do you think there have been?
One snowflake anywhere in the UK. Mm-hmm. I'd be tempted to say the majority of Christmases, but I'll say half. So let's say, what's half of 50, 25, 20, 27.
Close.
I'm going to go with 32.
30.
Well,
marginally
the winner.
So, but I don't know what it means for like placing a bet on it. Don't know how that works. Maybe they define it by that rule that we thought, where it's one flake on like a
metal. I'm pretty sure the bookies have a very particular place where they judge.
They must do. And who stands up there watching that?
The loneliest person at Christmas time.
We're in a Betfair t-shirt.
Ollie Peart, thank you for your bag of trends.
No problem.
It was a delight.
It was.
Still to come, Alex Fox opens her big bag of dicks. Alex, what have we got in store?
This week I have actually brought along, that's a very heavy physical bag of actual dicks.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Alex Fox exploring her bag of dicks. Still to come after this. If you've seen Father Christmas this year, the chances are you queued to get into a grubby grotto somewhere and then felt rather underwhelmed by the man you found inside with the cheap stick-on beard, who probably wanted to rush you out as soon as possible and definitely didn't like your kids. The actor Nigel Harvey, though, is in a completely different league. He advertises himself as Celebrity Santa. You can even find him on Twitter, at Celebrity Santa. And Nigel's made a career of being the Father Christmas that TV production companies use when they're making their Christmas TV specials. So he's been on The One Show, This Morning, Pointless Celebrities, Text Santa, you get the idea. It is a job, believe it or not, that does keep him employed 52 weeks of the year. But obviously this time of year is particularly busy. He is currently Santa in residence at the very plush Rosewood Hotel in Holborn. And I went along on Sunday night to watch him in action. He was driving around in one of their branded minis and handing out presents to kids and all the rest of it, and looked absolutely incredible. The trousers, the boots, the beard, which he told me, by the way, costs him around £1,000. I mean, he is the real deal. Then he invited me up to his room to interview him, and his beard had come off. The eyebrows had come off. He looked utterly different. He'd had tape to sort of make him look older on his face and all that kind of thing. Suddenly, rather than this portly, hairy guy in his 70s that I'd met downstairs, Father Christmas, I was now talking to a completely bald, average-looking bloke in his 40s. So I really think no one is better placed than him to explain what life is like living in that iconic red and white outfit. I asked him, what is it like to live most of your life as one of the most famous people in the world?
What I do, there's one foot in magic and there's one foot in reality. And you sort of like cross between the two, because children are very clever these days and they've got the internet and they can find out whatever they want. But if you say something right, I had a little boy once who said, Father Christmas, I know you're not real. And I said, and why is that? He said, well, I saw my dad putting the presents under the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. And I said, I see, and what's your name? And he told me his name. I said, and where do you live? And he told me where he lived. I said, that's right. I said, I was running late. And you know, your dad, who's always been on my nice list, he said, I'll put most of the presents out for you. You just bring one. And your dad did that for me, and that's why he's always his Santa's little helper. And he's on my nice list. And the child that had completely decided that Father Christmas didn't exist went, oh.
Suddenly makes sense.
And because it made sense, you say something that makes sense to a child, and suddenly the wonder was all back there. We'd found that magic again, and it doesn't take very much, because you know, you have children that say, oh, my friend at school says that you're not real. And I said, and what's your friend like at school? Are they friendly? No, not really. I said, they're saying it to upset you, you see. And the reason they're doing that is because they don't get presents from me because they're on the naughty list.
Talk me through the voice, because as we can hear, you've got a northern accent now.
Yes.
As yourself. As Santa, it's a very deep sort of Victorian RP, isn't it?
Yes.
Where did you get that from?
Americans and Canadians loved Miracle on 34th Street, and of course it was Richard Attenborough.
Yeah.
And you can't get more, you know, English and pronounced. And so when I actually joined ClawsNet and put my showreel up there.
ClawsNet.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Exactly.
So that's the professional network for Santa.
Well, that's one of them. I mean, there's hundreds of them, but that was the first one I went for. And they love the accent.
The other thing as well that I've noticed is the response you get from adults.
Yes.
For some of them, it sort of unleashes their inner child.
Yes.
For some of them, I don't know quite how to put this, there are some ladies who kind of fetishize Santa Claus.
Well, let me tell you, that was the biggest eye-opener ever when I first started doing Father Christmas. I mean, quite frankly, the amount of times I get propositioned as Father Christmas by some incredibly beautiful women, and you know, but
and it's a serious proposition.
It's a serious proposition.
How
I mean,
they,
I've been groped. I've been, you know, I've had people while I've been here telling me what their room number is, and all sorts of things. But
they want you in the Father Christmas outfit.
Exactly. They want Father Christmas to be the one that's doing the naughty stuff with them. But the funny thing is, it really puts it into perspective. I'm not ugly. I'm not terribly obese or anything. I'm no beast. But they would rather have an old man with a white beard with a beer belly than me. It's just...
Where does that come from, do you think? Where does the sexual attraction to Santa come from for some people?
I have no idea, because it never entered my head that they would find something like that sexual. I don't know. I have absolutely no. There's a couple of female celebrities that have basically said, come on, Santa, let's...
Wow.
Yeah, and obviously I can't say who, but it's a shocker. I think it's because it's a character. Perhaps it's role play. Perhaps it's dressing up. Perhaps it's that side of sexuality. I don't know, but it never ceases to amaze me. But because this is so important to me, all these propositions, all these things, I would never act on them.
No.
Because all you need is one headline in the Sun.
Yes.
I emptied Santa's sacks and my career is over.
Sure.
And I mean, I am a terrible flirt as Father Christmas, because if you say to a girl that's sort of 5 or 6, have you been a good girl this year? If you say it to an adult, have you been a good girl? There's sexual connotations there instantly.
Yeah. Sure.
And then there's the flirting that goes off. I've even had husbands of wives who have said to me, look, my wife's got this thing about Santa. Would you basically do my wife and let me watch? I mean, you would... I'm not kidding you. It's just the biggest eye-opener of all time.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen all the time, obviously, because a lot of the time they're families with children and things like that. But it's something that I think every Santa that's done it properly, they've got it to come, because every year it never ceases to amaze me. In fact, today we're driving round in the Mini, and we stopped at some traffic lights, and this glamorous woman, she must have been late 30s, who said, are you the real Santa? And I said, well, yes, I am. And she planted me a kiss on the lips, and that was it, and she was gone. And Sam, who's been driving me around, just looked totally stunned. And she said, a total stranger just came and kissed you on the lips. And I said, yes, it's good, isn't it? So people also feel they have a right to do that. If you want to look at it technically, sexually assaulted by women, a Santa. But it's okay because it's Father Christmas. It's a real strange one.
No, it's extraordinary. And I mean, I was walking around with you downstairs, and really everyone of every different age and ethnicity was coming up to you and going, oh my God, it's Santa Claus. And we were walking downstairs, there's a Jewish wedding going on, and all of them wanted their picture taken with Father Christmas.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter who it is, does it?
Totally universal. And you also have to deal with, as Father Christmas, children that, what would you like for Christmas? I'd like Grandma to come back. Mm. You've got to have the empathy to be able to turn that round and make something that's very, very sad into a positive. So, you know, with somebody like someone's grandma, I said, well, I'm very, very sorry, but I bring gifts. Now, if I could do that for you, I would do. But, you know, your grandma's looking down on you and she's so proud. And do you know what? She wants you to have a wonderful Christmas. Would you do that for her? And suddenly you've turned that negative into something warm and cosy and safe. And children like that. And so do adults. I mean, I've had adults sobbing on my shoulder, you know, say, oh, Father Christmas, can you... I'd love to have my husband back or my wife back. And they've, you know, they've been for a terrible thing. And I said, I can't, but I'll tell you what I can do. I'll give you a hug. And I give them a... And they just go to pieces. But they feel that they've been given a gift, even if it's a hug, because it's done with genuine love and compassion. You know, it's all part of the healing process. They're now having a hug and sobbing it out on Father Christmas. And it's wonderful, because they go away and you look like... you've done something wonderful. Now, no amount of money on earth can make you feel how you feel when you've brought happiness to people at their darkest moments. And, you know, I do a lot of work for charities, and I meet a lot of very poorly children throughout the year that won't make it till Christmas. And the most miraculous thing that ever happened, I did go to a hotel to see this little boy, and I didn't know how severely ill he was or anything, because I only got a slight brief. Anyway, I walked in and they'd made his room into Christmas. He'd had
various strokes and half of his face was sort of limp. And I walked in and I said his name. I said, "Oh, hello there. And how are you?" And we started having this conversation. And the family are going absolutely nuts, screaming, crying, everything. And I'm thinking, shit, what's going on? What have I done? Because I thought they were angry. You know, and I read the night before Christmas, and I gave him some presents and opened them. We were chatting away, and they're videoing it all, and, you know. And it wasn't till I left the room, and the whole family just basically pounced on me. This little boy hadn't spoken in 6 months. I'd walked in as Father Christmas, and he started talking. So to them, that was a miracle. And even thinking about it now, sadly, it was a couple of days after he passed away, but they had that memory, that moment. And that persona of Father Christmas is so strong, he forgot all his problems and started talking.
It's an amazing thing to be able to do.
It's terrific. I mean, you know, and this is why I would never grow tired of this character, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know. The possibilities are endless. And to that family, I performed a miracle, because the doctors couldn't help him. Speech therapists couldn't help him. In walks Father Christmas. Bang. It is a wonderful thing to do. And it continues to be so. And every day, it's a different situation, a different set of children, different set of adults. And they all take different things from it. I mean, the thing is, when children get to an age that I've noticed, that when they find out that Father Christmas is make-believe, they tend to not tell their parents they know, because they don't want to spoil it for their parents, which is a very funny way that children look at things, because they think, oh, I know Father Christmas isn't real, but I don't want to spoil it for mum and dad. But you also get children, especially boys, that work out Father Christmas isn't real. When they meet a good Father Christmas, they tell all the younger children that he's real, and that everything that they've heard is rubbish, because a child goes through that disappointment and then goes through a new phase, which is, well, this is quite wonderful, this idea. I like this idea that there's this magical character. And I mean, the truth of the matter is, everyone's Santa Claus. You know, he does exist, but just in everyone. Parents take on the role of Santa Claus, doing the gift and spreading that joy. So there's a bit of Santa in everyone.
Well, let's just finish on this practical point then. If you're listening to this and you're a dad, and for whatever reason you've been convinced to actually dress up as Father Christmas for the family,
yeah,
you're going to have the tatty costume, aren't you? You're not going to have the best voice. Can you give us any tips?
Yes. The thing to do is, if you believe yourself to be Father Christmas, watch the films, make it real, believe it yourself, because a lot of it, for young children that can't really tell if it's a false beard or not because they're so young, if you believe that you're Father Christmas, then they will. If you don't believe you're Father Christmas, no one will buy it. Not a child, not anything. But if you're convinced that you are Father Christmas, it takes it to a different level.
And the laugh, it's a proper laugh, isn't it? It's not saying ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, well, the thing is, that's just my preference, because, you know, ho, 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 Merry Christmas is very two-dimensional. It's a laugh, therefore, laugh. You know, when I'm driving around the cars, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, everyone! Ho, 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 ho! It's a laugh. And the other thing is, he laughs because he's happy. You will find that if you start laughing, you will genuinely start laughing. It's one of those things. And I've laughed as Father Christmas. It's infectious. So everybody starts laughing because you're laughing. And suddenly, every Santa, it's always about what's inside. If it's coming from the soul, if it's coming from the heart, and you believe it, then that's the best way to be a great Father Christmas.
You rejoin us in Cloud 9 in Brighton. Paul, what is our next course here?
So this is the cheesecake brownie, which is a layer of gluten-free brownie with cheesecake on top and then double baked. It's one of my most popular items that we sell.
I was going to say, you've basically put a little mistletoe thing on top of it to make it Christmassy, but this looks like a staple.
It's a staple. It's one of our popular items, and we've just dressed it up a little bit to give it a bit of a Christmassy feel.
Give it a Christmas premium. Nice stuff. Okay, thank you very much. Alex, Ollie?
Oh my God, that is so moist.
It does look moist. Words with which it's always good to introduce Alex Fox. Let's open the bag of dicks, Alex. What have you got for us?
What I have inside my Santa sack of secretion-inducing itemages are three gift-wrapped toys that have proven to be very popular throughout 2015. Uh-huh. Each of them has something unique and exciting about them, and you two, Ollie and Ollie, have to guess what they do.
What a feature.
Sounds awful.
Okay, this present is for you, Ollie Mann.
Thank you.
And this fantastic parcel is for you, Ollie Pierce.
Okay, just feeling the package, as it were. It is cylindrical. What's yours like, Ollie?
Mine's feeling phallic.
Yeah, similarly. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, mine's like wrapped into this comes in a case.
Mine is pink and hard. Okay.
What the fuck is that?
Okay, mine looks like something you'd put up your nose to trim your hairs.
Or Cyril Sneer. Yours has a particularly interesting name, actually, Ollie Mann.
Does it? Okay, yes, it's written on the side. The Womanizer. Oh!
He's turned it on! He's turned it on!
It's just sprung into life.
God.
Completely accidental. Good Lord.
Ollie, if you place your finger over the white nozzle on your Cyril Sneer toy, it might give you a clue as to what its purpose is and what that sensation is that it's producing.
It's blowing small bits of air, is it?
Try creating a seal with your finger.
Okay.
Is it sucking?
There's a massage. There's a massage going. Is it a clitoral massage? Is that what it is?
Hooray!
Yeah, okay, fine. It's actually quite more gentle than I was expecting.
It is particularly designed to be gentle.
Yes.
The womanizer...
Often a complaint that men deal with, isn't it?
Rather than vibrating, it actually sends little pulses of air. So
yes.
It sort of sucks and blows.
I was right to say, yes.
And it's particularly designed for women who find direct clitoral stimulation from a vibrator overpowering or even painful. Some ladies find that really uncomfortable.
Now, actually, in all seriousness, Ollie, put your finger in there and just think, seriously... And think about your fingering pace and practicality.
It's incredibly gentle.
Yeah.
You can make it more hardcore. You can up the vibrations.
Okay, can I do that with Ollie's finger? How do I do it? Press this button.
Can't they make it make better noises? My finger's stuck.
Okay, well, it's very tactile. I can see why it's been a hit this year. What's Ollie Pitt got there? Can I turn this thing off?
Hold the button down like this.
There's an experienced pair of hands. Right, what's Ollie Pitt got?
It says on the side, it's Facom. And if you look at its side on... It looks like a weird cartoon character with a big nose.
Okay, look, that definitely goes up your thingy, doesn't it? And that, again, is a clitoral stimulus, right? That bit.
I think this
that
bit...
That is true.
This bit goes up, yeah?
It does. Yes. So this main shaft piece goes inside a woman's vaginal canal.
Yep.
And this little pointy, snouty bit rests on the clitoris. However, there is something very new and quite special about this toy when you turn it on.
Right, I've got to figure that out now, haven't I?
I'll give you a clue.
Okay, I can't work
think
out what it's doing differently.
Think about the qualities that make a real man's penis different
Again,
from a toy.
Again, very gentle vibration.
Well, mine doesn't vibrate like that.
No.
No, but when you hold it in your hand, how does it feel?
Vibratory.
Your
the
penis,
word you're looking
not
for
the
is
toy.
Throbbing.
My penis.
It?
When you hold your penis in your hand,
throbbing,
Ollie,
you're looking for throbbing.
Warm meat.
Warm.
It's like holding a sausage that's been left out of the fridge for a while.
Warm is the key word here, Ollie. Yeah. You're onto something.
I don't know. When I hold Ollie Pitt's penis, those aren't the words that come to my mind.
Cold sausage is what comes into your mind.
What you are holding is the equivalent of a sex electric blanket.
Right.
This vibrator warms up.
Right, that's
In
nice,
fact,
isn't
if you
it?
Feel it now, it's starting
oh, I
to get...
see, that's what that symbol means. That's a thermometer.
Oh, that's quite charming, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have a look in the bag. What else have we got?
This is good.
It's well wrapped.
Whoa. Oh, okay.
It's black.
Right, yeah. It says head on it.
It's got a sort of Motorhead style.
Oh, my God!
It's not a Motorhead dildo, is it?
It is a Motorhead vibrator.
It's everything
an
I
official,
never wanted.
An official Motorhead vibrator.
Wow.
So you can think of Lemmy's mole.
Oh, it's on.
How common is it for a band to expand their merch to include female stimulation?
This is the first line of official Motorhead toys. They do.
Really? They didn't think pinball machine first?
Well, their builders being particularly loud and particularly powerful.
It is loud.
It is, like, if you just let it rest in your hand, it just sort of moves about like some weird torpedo.
I was actually surprised.
I've been wasting my merch opportunities, haven't I?
The Ollie Man vibrator. Can you imagine what that would look like?
What features would the Ollie Man vibrator have? Or the Ollie Man sex toy?
Just be his low, deep voice vibrating inside of you.
Hello, man fannies.
Okay, so those are the presents of the year.
I think you did a very good job at guessing what was going on with those sex toys. So I'm going to reward you. Since we are inside the wonderful Cloud Nine Cafe and Paul is serving us a variety of sweet treats, I thought I'd bring you both a sweet treat of my own. So here's one for you, Ollie Man, and here's one for you, Ollie Pitt. What I need you to do is unwrap them, place them in your mouths without looking at the packaging, and tell me what flavour these items are.
Okay. I mean, they're condom-shaped, so it's a condom, right?
You want me to put a Johnny in my mouth?
Yes, that's what she's asking.
I'm going in with my teeth.
You're using your teeth.
You really shouldn't use your teeth to open condom packets, I should state.
That's a safety hazard, isn't it?
Right? It looks like a bit of
just tripped on your jeans. Condom juice just dripped on Ollie Man's jeans.
It looks like awful. I feel sick. Okay, right, hang on.
It's dripping on you as well. This has made my year.
That is actually making me gag.
I don't know.
That is horrible.
How are you
still got yours in your mouth? I was almost sick.
I know what it is. It's
I know, I feel sick. Oh my god.
It's horrible.
It's rank.
Have we got different ones? We have, haven't we?
Now you know how it feels to be a girl, Ollie
Bear. Yeah, it hasn't even got a cock in it.
Never with a thing on.
It's
that is actually disgusting. I mean, that tastes horrible. I'd rather suck
a
cock.
Can I guess? Because I
would rather suck a cock than have that in my mouth again. That is horrible.
I think I know what it is.
Ollie Man, what do you think the flavour of the condom that you're covered in the juices of is?
I think it's cola flavoured.
Hooray!
Yes!
It is. It's fizzy Coca-Cola flavour.
So mine was the same then. How the hell did you keep it in your mouth for so long?
I don't think it's an unpleasant. It tastes like a cola cube that's been melted and put onto a rubber joint.
No, there was some horrible bitter taste in my mouth as
really,
well. Yeah. Oh, God, that was disgusting. That was horrible.
If that's not to your taste, Ollie Pitt, then maybe you'd...
There's a whole world of condoms for you to put in your mouth.
Well, world of... Did you know that the flavours of condoms
Matt has
are...
Producer given us one of Paul's delightful cookies. Paul, what are these?
Milk and white chocolate cookies.
Milk and white chocolate cookies. That'll take the
Thank
taste away.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Do you know in Thailand, chili-flavoured condoms are particularly popular? Maybe you prefer one of those, Ollie.
I think I prefer it to the Coke one. I mean, I don't really like Coca-Cola anyway. People don't just put them in their mouths like that.
Tell us the brand, Alex. What was it we were tasting?
That was Passante Fizzy Cola. They do a bubblegum-flavoured one as well. And a glow-in-the-dark one, so you can turn your dick into a lightsaber.
If they did a rum one, and you could have two at once, you could do a rum and Coke, couldn't you?
You could get in touch with the double dick dude, you know, that guy with the bifurcated penis.
No, of course
not.
And
just get him to wear... There is a gent in the US who has a bifurcated penis, so he actually has two willies. He goes by the nickname Double Dick Dude. Look him up. He did a really fantastic, very interesting discussion on Reddit.
Actually, now you mention it, I think the Noel's House Party Christmas special in 1998 ended with the same guy.
That was Mr. Nobby.
So that was very appropriate. And so the Modern Man Christmas Spectacular has come to a close. Merry Christmas, Ollie.
Merry Christmas, Ollie.
Merry Christmas, Alex.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Man.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you very much for downloading the show. Remember, if you like the show, tell your friends. Just use the hashtag ModernMan, M-A-M-M, on Twitter. And remember as well that if you visit our website, modernman.co.uk, you can follow the links there to subscribe, to send Alex Fox a question of sex, or to buy us a beer. If you have some Christmas money swishing around, it might be nice to do that. Which, as ever, just leaves me to say that the producer has been Matt Hill. I've been Ollie Mann. Our theme music is by Django Django from their self-titled debut album. And hold the fucking phone. What's this?
Why?
That's amazing. Paul has just brought us a Modern Man cake.
It's got our faces on it.
It's got our faces on it.
We can eat ourselves.
Oh, thank you very much, Paul. Thank you, everyone at Cloud 9 in Brighton as well.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I'm going to give you the clap.
Come here. There we go. Clap from Ollie. Clap from Alex. Happy Christmas, everyone. See you soon. In fact, we'll see you next Tuesday.